We've been looking at the doctrine of Christ in the Word of God. And we've talked about the pre-incarnate Christ. We talked about His birth. We talked about His life. Talked about His death. Talked about His resurrection. And then we talked about His ascension. And we talked about His coming. We're talking now in that coming about the future ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And part of that is what we're going to address tonight. And I hope I could get finished, but I make no promises. Amen. It seemed like the more I chewed on it, the bigger it got. But I want to address tonight the subject of the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. If you have your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 9. The Bible said, "Wherefore we labor." Did you know that God takes it for granted that His people are going to be a working people? We love the scripture. I'm just going to try to mind the Lord. I don't know how long it takes to get through this, but we love the scripture that says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." I love it. That not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But I'll tell you a scripture that comes right after that. I think it's verse number 10. "For we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We don't believe that we work to be saved, but we do believe if we're saved, we'll work. Amen. We don't believe in a works salvation, but we believe the Bible teaches a salvation that works. And I believe that with all my heart. Let me give you this to emphasize that point. The book of James says, "Faith without works is dead, being alone." Did you hear that? Who in the world in their right mind would trust a dead faith to get them to heaven? How did the faith the Bible gives us is a faith that's alive and well. Peter said it's a lively hope. Amen. Which means it's living. That Jesus is in living in his life in us and through us. "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent," the verse prior to that said we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's true of every one of us. Whether it happens by way of the grave or by way of the rapture, it's going to be true. We're going to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. And the Bible said we labor that we may be accepted of Him. "For we must all," you see that? "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether," by the way, beloved, that's what makes the work accepted, is when it's done with the right motive, when it's done from the heart. Amen. The Bible said here, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause." I want you to notice this. "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Here's something that's very important. I'm going to get to this after a while. "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." I'm going to make a statement before I pray. But if every one of God's people in America was living that verse number 15, was living that verse out in their life, we'd be seeing a move of God like this country ain't never seen. Amen? living for Him that died for us, not for ourselves. Pray with me. Father, I thank You tonight for these that have come. I pray, God, tonight that Jesus would manifest His presence among us tonight. Help us, our Father, tonight. There's a lot of ground to cover. Help me, Lord. God will give You glory. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I must say this, I believe, in the beginning of the message tonight. This scripture is talking to God's people. This scripture, this judgment seat of Christ does not apply to the lost. That we're going to get to later in the future ministry of Christ, the great white throne judgment. But tonight, this scripture is dealing with God's people. And before we get into the judgment seat of Christ, I want to just say there's three major judgments concerning the believer that I'd like to touch on tonight. The first one would be the judgment of our sin. That's already passed. When we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, the judgment of our sin. Listen to what the Bible said in Hebrews 10, 16 and 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put My laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Glory to God. I love that old song. What sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Oh, you say, preacher, that makes me want to live loose. Oh, no, if you ever get a hold of that, make you want to live for God. Make you want to live for the Savior. Amen. Isaiah 43 said this, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. Glory to God. That reminds me of another verse. What'd He do? He nailed it to the cross, Brother Jason. Amen. And for Mine own sake, and will not remember thy sin. Psalm 103 said this in verse 10 and 12 through 12. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. I don't know about you, but you know what? You keep going east, you can't never catch up with west. Glory to God, there's a devil that would like to catch up with my sin, but he can't catch up with it because God has put it in the sea of forgetfulness. Listen to what the Bible said in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. The judgment of the believer's sin we're speaking about. Therefore, there's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. To them who walk not after the flesh. Again, the Bible just assumes that if a man's born again, and it actually says this, he's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Behold, old things are passed away, all things are become new. I used to tell the men in prison, it's worthy of repeating tonight. If there's no change in your life, there's no Christ in your life. Because Jesus is in the life-changing business. Amen? We don't all grow at the same time. And God didn't find us all in the same place. Some of us were at a very low ebb. Amen? But all of us were guilty of sin when He found us. Amen? The Bible said there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You know what I believe? I believe tonight I've been to Calvary. Amen. Amen. And the judgment of my sin took place on Calvary. And Romans 8 begins with no condemnation. But if you read the last few verses in Romans 8, it ends with no separation. Where there's no condemnation, what shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There's not one thing in the world that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's one of the judgments, a judgment of our sin. That's already taken place. I just want to say this in honor of Brother John. He sent me a text this week, Brother Vince. Amen. Brother John Alves, what a blessed man of God. Amen. He is. I appreciate him. Amen. Missionary to Brazil. But I want to say this. It's all because of Mountain Calvary. Glory to God. Amen. I love it. Don't you? Amen. Now, there's another judgment that before we get to the judgment seat of Christ, that's the judgment of God's sons. Listen to what the Bible said. You say, Pastor, our sin's already been judged. That's right. At Calvary. But listen to what the Bible said. Don't forget this. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him for whom the Lord loveth. Let me just stop and say this tonight. There have been many times in my ministry when I was preparing to preach that I had to stop. You say, Pastor, why did you stop? I had to get on my knees. I had to get right with God, Brother Jason, over what God was giving me. Amen. You say, Pastor, you mean pastors have to get right with God? Honey, we're still in this old carnal flesh. Amen. We're still in this sin-benighted world. And you better believe it don't matter who you are. You're going to have to get right with God somewhere along the way. Amen. He said, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, I wouldn't go around bragging, amen, that you can get by with your sin. I wouldn't do that, because the Bible said if you be without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons. What's that mean? That means illegitimate. That means you got something on your lips you ain't got in your heart. Because if you get Jesus in your heart and you go to turning back the way it was before, he's got a rod, amen. And he loves us enough, amen, to chasten us when we need to be chastened. Furthermore, he said, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. I remember Brother Mace Jackson years ago, he's preaching. He said, my daddy said, son, this is hurting me worse than it is you. Oh, Brother May said, I thought, my Lord, somebody's got their signals mixed up. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm telling you, God loves us too much to let us go our own way. Amen. You're not going to get very far out of the path, and he's got a rod. He's got a staff. Amen. He's going to pull you back up in the path where the sheep are supposed to be walking. Amen. And I thank God for that. He said, for they verily chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present time seems to be joyous, but the yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. I say amen to that tonight. When you're being chastened, honey, it ain't oh hallelujah, oh glory to God. But I tell you what's the truth tonight. I am glad that I know he loves me. Amen. And that I cannot go my own way. Now what's the Bible say? You remember the scripture concerning the Lord's Supper. It said this, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's when the Spirit of God deals with us about something, the best thing to do is just get it right. Just come clean with God and get it right. Amen. You say, why, preacher? Because we can save ourselves the chastening of the Lord. The Bible said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. How many'd rather be chastened than condemned? That's me. Amen. I appreciate that. Now tonight, we've looked at the judgment of our sin. That's past. The judgment of God's sons. That's what's going on in our lives right now between here and heaven. But I want to look at the judgment seat of Christ tonight. That is where, beloved, you and I, as God's people, are going to stand one day after a while. Turn with me in your Bibles, please. I read that phrase, judgment seat of Christ, in 2 Corinthians 5. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I want to give you three things concerning the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to go ahead and just give them to you, and then I'll come back and elaborate on them. There is the revelation of the fire. The fire is going to reveal our service. Amen. And then there's a reward for the faithful. But then I'm going to tell you this. It's all right here in this text, and I'll give it to you. There's going to be the regret of the foolish. It's all right here in this text tonight that I want to share with you. And I believe God will help us tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, let's look at verse number 12 and verse number 13. Well, I don't think I really gave you the first point in the message. The title of that was a required foundation. In other words, beloved, if you're not on that foundation, notice what he said here in verse number 10 of 1 Corinthians 3. According to the grace of God which was given me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Beloved, listen, the judgment seat of Christ only applies to those that are on this foundation. Amen. Those that have been born again. Those that have trusted Jesus as their Savior. So not only is there that required foundation that we talked about, but there's the revelation of fire. Let's read on. The Bible said, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. It's the fire, beloved, that's going to try our works. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Let me give you several things tonight about this fire. The fire reveals the sort, not the size. I used to go to preacher's conferences. I'm not against going to preacher's conferences. I'll be going to one in May, a camp meeting out there in Brother, I can't remember his name now. It slipped my name. It may slip my mind. I'll think of it after a while. It's out near Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We went out there and preached a couple of years ago. We've been invited back to come back and preach. But I used to go to preachers' meetings, and they would act like if you're not seeing hundreds saved or baptizing hundreds, you're not doing anything for God. I'm going to tell you something. I believe this with all my heart. There's mountains in West Virginia. There's mountains, beloved, listen, where you go up a holler. There's churches right here within 25 miles of this church. Only God could find them. Somebody say amen. I went to present my work in a church up above Abingdon. And the pastor said, I said, brother, give me some directions. He said, no, I'll just tell you where to meet me. And I got up to preach and I said, y'all better be glad God is omniscient. That means he's all knowing. I said, ain't nobody else that finds you in the rapture. Amen. And he didn't only lead me in there, Brother Chuck. He had to lead me out of there. Amen. I'd have still been down between them mountains. Amen. I don't know how in the world we got in and got out of there. But the Lord blessed the meeting. But it's what sort it is. It's not the size. And I believe the judgment seat of Christ is going to point that out. There may be some fellas that step up there with their chest stuck out and think they done something, and they may be disappointed. Amen. And a little mountain preacher preached to his people and loved them for 40 or 50 years. Amen. Buried them and married them. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, God's the one we're going to stand before. Amen. And the judgment seat of Christ is going to reveal it. It's going to reveal several things. Number one, it's going to reveal what sort of heart we have. You remember what God told David? That the Lord, well, he told Samuel this concerning David. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The judgment seat of Christ is going to be revealed. It's going to reveal by fire what's been done to impress somebody. Somebody help me right there. And what's been done because of a heart for God and a heart for God's people. The judgment seat of Christ is going to reveal that. Amen. Listen, this fire here is going to see right through it all. Amen. It's going to reveal what sort of heart we have. And let me give you this. I'm just giving you what God put on my... It's going to reveal what sort of offering we give. The Bible said that God loves a cheerful giver. You remember that? And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which maketh a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she out of her want had cast in all that she had, even all of her living. I'll tell you something tonight. You haven't lived until you have no idea what you've got in your billfold, and you get in a meeting somewhere, and God gets to stirring, amen, and God tells you to dump it. Amen. I'm talking about you don't even count it. You just reach in there and get it and put it where God told you to put it. I'm telling you, it's a blessing. Don't look at me like that, amen. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about God's looking at that heart. Amen. He's not impressed by the size. He's impressed by the sort, amen, that we're giving. And the Bible talks about not only the sort of heart we have, the sort of offering we give, but the sort of service that we render. Listen to what Paul said about preaching. The Bible said, for though I preach the gospel, he said, I have nothing to glory of. Nothing to glory of. Listen to what he said. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing, here's the word, willingly. If I do it willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. I'm going to tell you something right now. God's looking for people that serve him from the heart because they love him and they do it willingly. Amen. I'll tell you the text, I don't know if I can quote it right now, but the text that the Lord used to call me to the church over there in the book of Peter. Let me just look at it real quick. I got so much going through my mind tonight I want to get to. Amen. I think it's in 2 Peter chapter, no, it's in 1 Peter. And the Bible said here, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, that's the word I was looking for, but willingly. But willingly. Amen. But willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. I tell you, I thank God tonight. Amen. That it's the Lord's the love that he puts in our heart that helps us to serve him, not grudgingly, but willingly. Amen. Because we want to. I believe that. And then what sort of life we live. Do we live to be seen of men? The fire is going to reveal it. The Bible said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. And they may be seen of men. I'll tell you, we're in a sad state, beloved, if we do what we do to please men or to be seen of men. Amen. I believe, listen, that it ought to be birthed out of that prayer closet. It ought to be birthed out of that love for God. He said, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and thou shut the door. Pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. The revelation of the fire. The Bible said it's going to be tried, so as by fire. You see that right there? If any man's work abide, in verse number 14, that he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. So not only is there the revelation of the fire, the requirement to be on that foundation, but there's the reward for the faithful. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is about. It's a bema seat. It's likened unto that day, the Greek games, where they, like we're having the Olympics going on now. I used to watch them, but it's gotten so, never mind. Amen. I just ain't got nothing for it no more. Say amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. Back in that day, that's where that reward came from. And Paul is thinking about that. And he's talking about, beloved, there's going to be a day when we can run and strive for the mastery and win a crown for the glory of God. Amen. The Bible speaks of crowns. Let me give you these real quickly. There's five of them. And sometimes I can remember them all. Sometimes I can't. So I wrote them down. There's the Bible said in 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's one for every one of us, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also who love his appearing. If you're looking for him and living for him and longing for him, like John said, even so come Lord Jesus, amen, then there's going to be that crown of righteousness. In James chapter 1, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. Amen? Isn't that good? Do you love him tonight? I believe if you love him, beloved, there's a crown for you. Fear none of these things. The Bible said in Revelation 2:10, that thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So there's a crown of righteousness. There's a crown of life. That text I talked to you about a while ago in Peter. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory. that fadeth not away. That, listen, people say, well, that's the pastor's crown. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Every time you bow your knee in your heart and pray for this pastor, I believe God is going to let you share in that. Amen. We're not in this thing alone. No man lives to himself. No man dies to himself. We're serving the Lord together. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 2. Watch this in 19. For what is our hope? This is Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica. Or joy, or crown of rejoicing. He said, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? We would call that the soul winner's crown. As somebody that loves souls, amen, pointing people to Jesus, pointing them to Mountain Calvary, amen, and the sacrifice that God has made for our sin. That's what he's talking about here. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Isn't that good? He said in Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. Hold thou fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You say, Pastor, oh, glory to God. I tell you, God got all over me the other night right here. Why in the world should we be interested in a crown? Listen to what the Word of God said, beloved. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You go into the next chapter and they're hollering and singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Why should God's people be concerned about a crown to lay at the feet of Jesus? I'll tell you why. Because he wore a crown of thorns that you and I could go and be with him one day after a while. I'm telling you, that crown that he wore ought to cause us to want to have one to lay at his feet. I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. Jesus, beloved, notice what the Bible said back there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 again. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 again. I want to read verse 14 and 15 again. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Beloved, that's the Christian life right there. Just selling out to the Lord Jesus, amen, and living for him. There's a reward. The reward for the faithful. There's a reward for working. The Bible talks about over in 1 Timothy, I'm not going to read all of these verses. I'll just read portions of them for the sake of time. I want to get through this tonight. If you'll stay with me a few more minutes, there's a reward for working, and that's doing God's work, God's way. Did you know that God has a way, amen, that he wants us to do his work? The Bible said, and if a man also strive for the mastery, yet he's not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You say, Pastor, how are we supposed to serve the Lord? You'll find everything you need right here in this old book. Amen. We're supposed to strive lawfully. Amen. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding. You say, Pastor, what is the Bible teaching us? We need to do it God's way. Y'all remember over there when God told Saul to kill him, to kill the animals. You remember Samuel said, what's this bleating of the sheep that I hear? And the Word of God said, Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. It does matter how we serve God. Amen. It does matter, beloved, how we serve the Lord. There's a reward for working, but then there's a reward for watching. Did y'all know that? The Bible said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've kept the faith. Amen. Finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've fought that good fight. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. Are you watching for him? And then this one. This one right here. Listen to me tonight. I realize before I even start on this, I realize, beloved, that everybody don't believe what I'm going to preach to you tonight. But I'm going to give you Bible for it. I believe there's a reward for witnessing. When I first was preparing this message, I was trying to alliterate Brother Jason with the W's. And I wrote the words down, there's a reward for winning. In other words, for winning others, for soul winning. And God straightened me out. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I believe the reward is for witnessing. If not one person will hear it. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, here's what I believe. I believe Noah told a whole lot more people than just his wife and his boys and their wives. Somebody help me right there. Ain't nobody going to make me believe, brother, he preached 120 years to 8 people. I believe he was telling it everywhere he went. Judgment's coming. And they didn't believe him. But God rewarded him for being faithful to give the message. There's a reward for witnessing. What is our hope or crown of rejoicing? I read it a while ago. Or not even ye. Listen to these verses. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. That's in the Bible. Do y'all know that? And the Word of God said, and he that winneth souls is wise. I'm going to tell you this. I believe in the generation we live in, you might have to tell 150 people what Jesus has done for them before one will listen. But I'm going to tell you what, I believe I'd just do what God said to do, and I'd tell them. Amen, whether they listen or whether they don't. I believe there'll be a reward one day for witness. Stay with me a minute. The Bible said, they that be wise, Daniel 12:3, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness. Now you say, Pastor, there's no human instrument in this. Oh, yes, there is. God could use a donkey if he wanted to. Say amen. He could use a squirrel if he wanted to. My grandpa died believing the world's flat. My aunt told him, said, Dad, the world's round. He forgot that part in Isaiah about the circle of the earth. He's looking at the four corners. Amen. But he didn't get that part on the circle of the earth. Grandpa said, how do you know? She said, there have been men on the moon. They took pictures of the earth. He said, where'd you see that? She said, we saw it on TV, Dad. He said, they show squirrels talking on TV. Said, you don't believe that, do you? Somebody say amen right there. God chooses to use you and me to be a watchman and sound the warning to this generation. And there'll be a reward. Not necessarily on the results, but on being faithful to tell others the old, old story. You know, we sing, get behind that songbook. I think I mentioned this to Jason the other day. Some of y'all be wondering now what I lean over and say to him at times. You're singing that song, I love to tell the story. I leaned over to Jason. I said, there's people singing that song and ain't told the story in 10 years. I'm not mad tonight. I want to be standing there as your pastor, Caleb. I want to see you have that crown for telling others about Jesus. Amen. For telling others what he means to you, what he's done for you. Hallelujah tonight. There's a blessing. Amen. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. The Bible said this, for the Scripture saith, here's where most people get off. They uncouple right there. That's a preacher's job. Let me ask you this. How many of you like whosoever in John 3:16? Y'all like that in John? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Guess what, Brother Mike? There's another whosoever over in Romans 10. It said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That's what it said. Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Oh, beloved, tonight, Jesus said this, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Oh, it's only gotten worse, ain't it, than Jesus' day. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Psalm 126 said this, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we're glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You know what? There's nothing wrong with tears in the prayer closet. Nothing wrong at all. But I'm going to tell you something else. There's nothing wrong with standing face to face with somebody that needs Jesus. And them seeing a tear roll on out of down your cheek. I'm telling you, beloved, tonight they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, that's the word of God, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's what it said. Now let me give you this. Here's a song, Brother Dale. I guarantee you've sung it somewhere along the way. I believe you have. When in the better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls will be if any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. The chorus said, you never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the way to see. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, but you never mentioned him to me. You say, Pastor, I don't know why you'd preach like this. I'll tell you why. Because every one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. And I want every one of us, Brother Preston, to hear God say, well done. It ain't numbers. It ain't another notch in your belt. It's just being faithful to tell the story. Oh, let us spread the word, whate'er, where'er it may be heard. Help groping souls the light to see, that yonder none may say, you showed me not the way, you never mentioned him to me. The last verse, a few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side, or turn sad eyes to Calvary. So work as days go by, that yonder none may cry, you never mentioned him to me. Did you know something tonight? I know that everybody's made up different. I know that. But you know what amazes me? It amazes me how many people can freely talk about cars and freely talk about ball games, even freely talk about the church service and how God blessed in a church service, freely talk about the choir, how God's blessing the choir, and freely talk about something God showed you in the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We need to get to a place in our lives where we can freely. The best thing you could ever tell somebody is what he done for you and what he wants to do for them. Amen. Everyone that saves got a testimony. I'll ask you a question tonight. How long has it been since you shared it? They're looking for a good meeting over here. Matthew went over there tonight, Sister Lori, to share his testimony, to tell those young people how God saved his never-dying soul. Well, let me ask you something tonight. I don't believe there's a thing wrong, not one thing wrong in the world, Brother Gary, with sharing our testimony in the house of God. There may be somebody in the house of God that needs to hear it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a world that's dark. The Bible said, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me give you this tonight. The Bible said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe on that day I'm going to give an account, not only for what I've done, but for what I've not done. Amen. I believe the Bible teaches that. And then I'll give you this and I'm done tonight. Thank you for letting me finish this tonight. There's 9 things and this is the second one. I hated to split up one of them. Amen. We're going to talk about this for just a moment. The regrets of the foolish. You say, Pastor, where did you find that in the text? The Bible said, if any man's work abide that he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But look at verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. I got to hurry. Years ago, we had a Bible school. I've told this before. How many's ever seen the little paper Burger King crowns? You've seen those? The kids all week, Brother Jason, they decorated them with little plastic jewels. And they all had a label, crown of righteousness, crown of life, crown incorruptible. They didn't know what was coming at the end of the week. As a matter of fact, just me, my wife, none of the teachers knew. And one man in the church and his wife are the only ones that knew what was coming in the program on Friday night. And we had him jacked up in the baptistry. We had curtains over the baptistry there. And when we pulled the curtains back, we did our best to make him look just like John saw in the book of the Revelation in chapter number 1. We had socks on him painted with that brass paint. Eyes as a flame of fire. A golden girdle about his loins. You understand? Hair like wool. We done our best to portray. And when we opened the curtains, there was a all over the auditorium. And the kids didn't know what they were doing, Brother Mike, that week. But when they were building those crowns, they were asking that program. I taught them how that we're going to lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about just teenagers or just juniors. You can imagine little primaries. They've worked all week on that thing. They don't want to turn that thing loose. But you know what they done? They filed out of there. And here they come. And they got up there. And they took that crown off. And they laid it down. And most of them didn't go like this off the stage. They went like this. They just could not take their eyes off of what they were looking at. I had a couple of teenagers, Brother Connor, that volunteered to take no crown. And they went there and they looked at him with empty hands and they wept. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say tonight, listen, God's got a message for us tonight. And I don't want one of my people. I don't want one of my people walking up to Jesus without a crown. Amen. I'm telling you, according to the Bible, that old song they come out with, we'll put on a crown and march around all over God's promised land. Gag a maggot. Amen. He ain't going to be looking at us in heaven. We're going to be looking at Him. I believe we're going to lay it at His feet just like the 420 elders did. Lay it down there. Y'all pray for Pastor. I won't have a crown. He's worthy. I said He's worthy. You remember, I won't read all the story. It's half of that page, just the scripture. Half of that page. But you remember the story. When they were going to move the ark of God, God had designed, Brother Gary, that the ark of God be carried with staves. You say, Pastor, you're talking about the regrets of the foolish? You mark down what I'm saying tonight. The church, I'm talking about as a whole in the world, has turned to a new cart. They think you've got to have something new. I'm going to tell you something right now. They're going to regret it one day. Are you listening to me? They're going to regret it one day. I say, stay with the old songs. Stay with the old book. Stay with the old time way. And let God bless us. Amen. Because, beloved, listen, it's not a new cart that we need. It's a new heart. A new heart. I read you these things that I wrote down. It's foolish to go after a new cart. It's foolish to try to do the work of God apart from the Word of God. It's foolish for God's people to begin in the Spirit and try to continue in the flesh. We need the Spirit of God.
on us. It's foolish to be enslaved by the temporal when we could be enjoying the eternal. I said it. I said, God, give me something to say. It would be foolish. You'd be surprised how many people are entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Enslaved by the temporal instead of enjoying the eternal. It's foolish to live for self when we could be a light for souls. Help me tonight. Amen. Saved. So has by fire. There's a phrase that people use, by the skin of your teeth. In other words, saved, but no reward. How sad. I said, how sad it would be not to have a reward. How many's glad you come tonight? Thank you for staying with me. We'll run a little bit over. Amen. We really believe that it changes. We must all. How many's ever had the Holy Spirit to nudge you to do something and you didn't do it? How many? We regret that, don't we? Well, we don't want to get there and have a whole life to regret. Amen. I'm glad God allows U-turns. I'm glad God will just let us go. Amen.